Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, love, and mercy. We thank you for your presence in our lives and the environment. Thank you for wonderful things we have received from you. Thank you, Lord, for great things your mighty hand have done unto us. Thank you, Lord, for breakthroughs you have done in our lives. Thank you for destroying the works of the enemy that were fashioned against us. Thank you for glorifying yourself in our lives such that your name is being honored in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you for battles we couldn't fight and win by our strength and wisdom. But we called unto you, and you stepped into those battles and fought for us and give us the victory. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for all the truths you have opened our eyes to see. We thank you for revelations you have shown us, revelations of who you are, revelations of your power and how to stay connected with your power, revelations about your kingdom and your glory. Thank you for everything you have taught us. Thank you for also helping us to believe these things, obey these things, and follow these teachings. Thank you, Father. I ask, O Lord, that as we would be having another teaching class in your presence, speak to every one of us. Let the entrance of these teachings give us revival and edification. Let our lives be transformed. And let your name be forever glorified. Thank you, Lord, because we know you will do more than our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. Remember that we are in part 3 of the teaching that says building a strong discerning spirit. So we are in the part 3 of that teaching. And the part 3 says the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and your spirit. We have been looking at the connection between your spirit and the Holy Spirit. And what happens to your spirit because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in there. Yeah, and much more we have discussed so far. Now we are moving to the next point. The next point is the Holy Spirit sets your spirit on fire. The Holy Spirit sets your spirit on Spirit literally set your spirit on fire, just as you could pick a cloth and then you put fuel on that cloth. Yeah, any type of fuel that will make the cloth catch flames quickly, and then you just put the, and then you just put the cloth on the ground, and then you light it up with fire. I mean, just as you could set a piece of cloth on fire, literally, that's also that is how the Holy Spirit sets us on fire. Yeah, the only difference is that the Holy Spirit sets us on fire to change us, to transform us, and also to use us as change agents. To change us, to refine us, and then to use us to change others, to use us to change situations, to use us to change people, change nations. Yeah. So, the fire of the Holy Spirit is not to destroy us, but to build us, to strengthen us, to empower us, to deliver us, to cleanse us, and to refine us. Yeah, that is what the fire that comes from the Holy Ghost does. Of course, there are some entities or creatures that cannot have such blessings from the fire of the Holy Ghost. Those entities and creatures, the only thing the fire of the Holy Ghost can do to them is to destroy them. Yeah. According to Hebrews 12. Yeah, Hebrews 12, verse 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. It says, "For our God is a consuming fire." For our God is a consuming fire. Yeah, so there are some entities and creatures and things that cannot receive help from the fire of the Holy Spirit. The only thing they can get from God's fire is destruction. And the only thing that happens to them when exposed to God's fire is destruction. Yeah, the fire of God destroys them. Why? Because they are of the darkness. Yeah, they are of, you know, they exist for unrighteousness. They exist for wickedness. They exist for evil. So the fire of the Holy Ghost cannot help them. The only thing the fire of the Holy Ghost does is to destroy such things. Yeah, so that's just by the way. But the point we are looking at says the Holy Spirit sets our spirits on fire. The Holy Spirit sets your spirit on fire. Yeah. So why does the Holy Spirit do this? What is the essence of this fire of the Holy Spirit? Why should there be fire burning in us? So let us look at the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. This is John the Baptist talking. We both know he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to be. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Yeah, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Yeah, somebody asked the question on our Telegram group platform. And some time ago, not long. Yeah, the person asked about the baptism of fire. How does it happen? How do you know you have that baptism? Yeah, and I said that it is still the same Holy Spirit that does the baptism. Yeah, or we can say it is the same Jesus that does the baptism. And it is the same Holy Spirit that produced the fire. Yeah, it's the same Holy Spirit that produced the fire. So, which means that the Holy Spirit is not always calm and gentle. You know, just as we know it from the scriptures, that the nature of the Holy Spirit is gentleness. Yeah, and the fact that he does not struggle with men, like he does not force people to do anything. Yeah, we have to be the one to really deny ourselves and yield to him and surrender to him. So he does not force people to do God's will, but he's ready to tell people what God's will is, show people what God's will is, and he will do it very gently and calmly. Yeah. So we know from the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is as gentle and calm as a dove. But the Holy Spirit is not always like that. Yeah, the Holy Spirit can be violent. I mean, very violent. Yeah. And it can be very dangerous. Yeah, very violent and very dangerous. Very deadly. And as a matter of fact, there was a place in the scripture where some people were accusing Jesus of using the power of Satan to cast out devils. Yeah, they were saying that he was using the power from Beelzebub, the prince of demons, to cast out demons. Yeah, and Jesus told them that what you guys are telling me is not a problem for me to forgive and overlook. I mean, Jesus was telling them that I can easily forgive this blasphemy coming from you people if it were just me in the picture. So he said, I can easily forgive you guys. Forget. Yeah. So that was why I said, any sin you do against me, the Son of Man, as long as I'm still here with you, I can forgive and overlook. But then Jesus said something. He said, any sin against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. Yeah. That is dangerous. Any sin against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. So, in another word, Jesus was telling them that this thing you are saying to me is not to me. You are saying these words against the Holy Spirit. So you should watch your mouth. And you are saying these words against the Holy Spirit that is doing those things. Because I'm doing them by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm casting out the devils, healing the sick, and doing all these miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by my own power. Yeah, so he was telling them that they should be careful how they speak to him. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit don't forgive. Yeah. The Holy Spirit don't forgive. Because it's a very dangerous spirit. Yeah. So now you might be asking, how come the Holy Spirit don't forgive? Does that mean anyone that sins against the Holy Spirit will not make heaven? There are people who have sinned against the Holy Spirit and they still were fortunate to make heaven. Yeah. But then you might be asking, if the sin against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven, then how come they made heaven? Now, the point is that the Holy Spirit judge instantly. Yeah, when you sin against him, yeah, he judge instantly, like the way he judged Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Yeah, he judged them with death instantly. Yeah, because they lied. They lied in his presence. He judged them instantly. Yeah. But he might not judge everyone the way he judged Ananias and Sapphira. But he's still judging people instantly. Yeah, so that's what it means. That's what Jesus meant by the sin against the Holy Ghost cannot be forgiven. It means that whatever you do against the Holy Ghost, you receive the judgment instantly. And that judgment cannot be reversed. You can fast 100 days. It can't be reversed. Yeah. You get the judgment instantly. Yeah. But it's not everyone that their own judgment will be instant death. Now, when I say instantly, I mean instantly. Yeah, for instance, there's some people that no matter what, no matter their level of prayers and fasting and sacrifices, there are certain things they can never get from God. Because at the time, they sinned against the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost blocked them from getting certain things from God. Now, the Holy Ghost did not block them from entering heaven. He just blocked them from getting certain things from God. So that was the judgment. So there are some Christians now that, there are some pastors now that they can never be healed by the Holy Ghost. I mean, by the Lord. Because they have sinned against the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost have blocked them from getting divine healing. Yeah. So I'm just giving examples of how the Holy Ghost judge people. Yeah, and then there are some people that, because their sins against the Holy Ghost so much, the Holy Ghost judge them from being able to repent. So those people, they can no longer repent, and which means they can no longer make heaven. Many of them try to change, but they just cannot change, because for many years they were sinning against the Holy Ghost. Yeah, and then you might ask me, what are the sins against the Holy Ghost? Yeah, let me give you an example. But let me just say this. If you are able to know that what you're about to do is a sin, and you still went ahead to do it, which we call willful sins, then you are at risk of this kind of judgment I'm talking about, this Holy Ghost instant judgment that cannot be forgiven. If you know that this thing I'm about to do, just like Ananias and Sapphira, they knew that they were about to tell lies, and they knew that they have grace not to do that. Yeah, they knew that if they decide not to do that, the Holy Spirit will help them not to tell lies. So they knew they were about to tell lies, and they still went ahead and told the lies. Then what happened to them? They were judged immediately. Yeah. So that's the first sin against the Holy Ghost. When you know, number one, that this thing I want to do is a sin. And not only that, you are a child of God, you are born again. Yeah, you have repented before, you have surrendered your life to Jesus, and your sins have been forgiven before. So which means that you have received grace not to sin. And after you know that this thing I have the strength not to do this thing, and then you still went ahead and do it, that is a sin against the grace that has been given to you not to do it. Yeah, because everyone that have given their lives to Jesus, they have received grace not to sin anymore. Yeah, so majority of Christians that are sinning, they know that they could do away with that sin. They know it themselves that they have the ability to not do the sin, to not commit the sin. They know it themselves. Yeah, so when you know that you have that ability, God has given you the strength to not do that sin, and then you still go ahead and do it, it is a sin against the grace that have been given to you to not do that thing. It is a sin against the power that is inside you that is keeping you from sinning. There's a power inside every Christian keeping us from falling into sin. So if you now go ahead and sin deliberately, then you have sinned against that power, and that power is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So that was what Ananias and Sapphira did in Acts chapter 5. And that was how they died instantly. And that was also what Moses did that made him not to enter the promised land. Though he made heaven, but he did not enter the promised land. So Moses sinned against the Holy Ghost. God gave him the grace to not get angry and disgrace God, because Moses actually disgraced God publicly. Yeah. Whereas he had the grace not to do that. So if God has given you the grace not to get angry, and you still went ahead and expressed your anger, is a sin against the Holy Ghost. And there's no forgiveness for it. Now, when I say there's no forgiveness, it doesn't mean you won't still make heaven. It just means that you might not get some blessings anymore. I don't want to talk much in that line. Yeah, because we still have other things to talk about. And then what are other sins that we commit against the Holy Spirit? like the case where those people were blaspheming, and they were saying that Jesus is using the power of the devil to do miracles. Yeah. So if God is moving in a church or in a ministry, and then you are now blaspheming, I mean, you're not speaking blasphemy. You're saying it is not God. That pastor is using another spirit. Or that pastor is just using psychology. He's just using his brain to do all those things. It's not that he's anointed. He's not anointed. And you begin to speak evil of that man of God. Whether he's there or he's not there, where you were saying those things. Mind you, it is not the man of God you're speaking against. You're speaking against the Holy Ghost that is with him and that is using him. Yeah. So you have to be careful what you say with your mouth. You have to be very careful. Especially what you say about men of God, that God indeed called them. And he is indeed using them. Yeah, so if you just open your mouth and talk evil of them or spoil their name before certain people, then get ready for judgment of the Holy Ghost. Judgment that cannot be reversed. So that's how dangerous the Holy Spirit is. Now let me give this other example. If you are a Christian and then you have some spiritual gifts and then God uses you maybe to prophesy, to give word of knowledge. Yeah, and then you open your mouth and tell people that thus saith the Lord. When you did not actually heard anything from the Holy Spirit. You did not hear any message from the Holy Spirit. You didn't hear any voice or you didn't receive any revelation from the Holy Spirit. But then you now come forward and say that, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord is saying. Know that you have sinned against the Holy Ghost and being ready for instant judgment, irreversible judgment from the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So when you manifest spiritually and you claim to be moved by the Holy Ghost to manifest those things you manifested. Whereas you were not moved by the Holy Ghost, then you have sinned against the Holy Ghost. And there will be instant judgment. Now, the reason why many people abuse spiritual things, spiritual gifts, abuse the anointing, abuse the anointing, and yet they continue to do that. Yeah, it's because the judgment of the Holy Ghost is not always obvious. Yeah, you might not really see it, but it's happening. Yeah, it's happening. Yeah, that is why there are billions of Christians that can no longer repent. Yeah. They can't repent anymore. Even when they try to stop certain things, they can't stop anymore. Why? Because they have been judged. Because they have misused the power. I don't know if that's the way to say it. Because they have sinned against the power that was given to them to keep them from sinning. So if that power is now removed, How would they stop sinning? Do you think you can stop sinning by your own power? It's not possible. Yeah, you can't stop sinning by your own power. If it were possible, then Jesus wouldn't have come and died. We don't need Jesus to come and die on the cross of Calvary. So it was because we can't stop sinning by our own power. That was why grace was given through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of that grace. Is the custodian of that grace that is keeping us from sinning. So if you now sin against the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is withdrawn from you, forget it. You can't make heaven because you won't be able to stop sinning. Yeah. So that's why we have billions of Christians today who can't stop sinning. And which means they can't make heaven. They might be highly anointed men of God, but they can't enter heaven. Because they have so much sin against the Holy Ghost to the point where they have been eternally judged from making heaven. Yeah, but because the Holy Ghost did not judge them on material things, because they still have, they are still always getting money. They are still always getting blessed financially. I mean, those categories of Christians, they still keep getting financial blessings. Some of them still keep getting healing miracles, deliverance miracles, and many other physical miracles. So they feel like, I'm still the candidate of heaven. God is still with me. But God is not with them. I tell you the truth. Though they still receive many blessings from God, but they can never make heaven because they have become, they have made an, they now have an habit of willfully sinning against God, and they have now been judged in that habit such that they can no longer change. Yeah. So we have millions of Christians in that category. Even billions. Yeah. So I'm just saying all these things to show you that the most dangerous dispensation, or you know, dispensation of God's relationship with mankind, the most dangerous dispensation is the dispensation that we have now. You know, we've had several dispensations like the dispensation of conscience. Yeah, when there was no specific law, God was judging people based on conscience. And then we now have, you know, and then we came to the dispensation of the law, where God gave the law, the Old Testament laws. And if you follow the law to the letter, you will be saved. But if you don't follow the law to the letter and obey it, you cannot be saved. Yeah. So some people think the dispensation of the law is terrible. Yeah. They think the dispensation of the law, I mean the dispensation of the Old Testament, they think it is bad that this grace dispensation that we are right now is better. But my dear brothers and sisters, the dispensation of the law is better than, I mean in terms of how dangerous it is. Yeah, not in terms of how merciful and how powerful it is. Yeah, not in that area, but in terms of how dangerous it is, the dispensation of the law is still better than now. So what I'm saying is that the dispensation we are now is more deadly, more dangerous than what we had in the Old Testament. I can ask me, how is it dangerous? I've explained you how you can still be receiving blessings from God whereas you have been eternally judged from entering God's kingdom. God is still blessing you. But you can't make his kingdom anymore. I don't know if you are getting my point. There's nothing as dangerous as that. Yeah, that God still heal you, help you, provide for you, but you can't repent anymore. You can't be forgiven anymore. Like, you can't make heaven anymore. Yeah, I would prefer not to get any blessing from God. Yeah, honestly, I would prefer not to get any blessing. I mean, any blessing from God and make heaven. I would prefer that. Yeah, but many Christians, they have been deceived by the physical blessings. And they have lost their soul completely. Yeah. They have lost their souls. So that's how dangerous the Holy Ghost is. Of course, this present dispensation is better than the Old Testament dispensation in terms of the love of God that is there. The mercy of God that is there, the power of God that is there, the transformation that is there, the intimacy with God that is there. So there's a lot of blessings in this New Testament dispensation. But there's a greater judgment there than Old Testament dispensation. So when I think about these things, sometimes I just begin to cry. Yeah, because I pity many Christians, especially many of us who think we already have a destination, already have a future with God, and whereas there's no future. Yeah, because we have been locked out of heaven. Many Christians, many general overseers, many pastors have been locked out of heaven, like permanently, eternally. Yeah. Well, maybe, except they receive some extra mercy, which in many cases, I'm not laughing because I'm happy about what I'm talking about. It's just that sometimes, instead of crying, I just laugh. Yeah, there might be some extra mercy for some of those people, for some Christians in those categories. Maybe they might got a chance to be brought back into the kingdom. Yeah, but many can no longer enter into the kingdom. Yeah. So that is how dangerous the Holy Spirit is. Yeah, it's a very dangerous spirit. So why did I begin all the conversation about this nature of the Holy Spirit? Is because it has to do with the fire of the Holy Ghost, the violent nature of the Holy Ghost, the dangerous nature of the Holy Ghost is being expressed by fire. Yeah, and that is why many times when we pray warfare prayers, when we pray our deliverance prayers, we use fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because we are engaging with that nature of the Holy Ghost that is dangerous, that is deadly, that is merciless. Like, it does not show mercy. So there is a nature of the Holy Ghost that does not show mercy. That that is violent. Yeah, and that nature is most times expressed in the form of fire. Of course, it could be expressed in other forms, like maybe in form of lightning and thunder, or in form of violent wind, or in so many other destructive forms. But in this context, we are looking at the fire of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost demonstrates his nature of violence against evil, against every work of sin, every work of darkness. The Holy Ghost expressed that nature through his fire. Yeah, so that is why we need the baptism of fire. Because there are so many things in our lives that does not agree with God. So many things in our character, in our attitudes, in our nature, that is against righteousness, the righteousness of God. That is against the holiness and purity of God. So many things. I mean, so many things. There are so much that they are endless. Yeah. So many things. In just one man, there is the depths of hell and darkness. All that is in hell and darkness is in every human being. I mean, every single human being. All the wickedness of hell, the sinfulness of hell, is in every human being. And you want to ask me how? Every human being that has the Adamic nature, the flesh in them, has hell in them, has darkness in them, because that is the root of hell and darkness. The flesh, the Adamic nature, that's the root of every darkness. Yeah, that's the root of every darkness. Yeah, so we need a lot of that fire of the Holy Ghost. Because there is a lot in us that it must destroy. I know we have some Christians who are so self-righteous. I mean, they have high level of self-righteousness. So they feel like they are perfect, as in, even when they are not perfect. Yeah, of course, when you are perfect, there's a way you know by the Holy Ghost. But when you think you are perfect in yourself, not as you depend on the Holy Ghost to help you, but you think you are just perfect, everything you are doing is just okay in yourself, that is self-righteousness. Yeah, because there is no perfection in yourself. It is only in the Holy Ghost that there is perfection. Only in the Holy Ghost that there is perfection. Yeah, only in the Holy Ghost that there is perfection. Yeah, so which means that as we depend on the Holy Ghost to help us to burn all those darkness in us. Yeah, it is as we do that that we become perfect. Yeah, I don't know if you are getting the point. Yeah. It is as the Holy Ghost uses his fire to begin to destroy all those roots of sin, roots of darkness, roots of wickedness, sinful habits, wrong attitudes, wrong character. It is as that fire keep on destroying them. That is how we become perfect and righteous before the Lord. Yeah. So there is so much that fire must destroy. That is why we need baptism of fire. Yeah, but because there is so much in us that is against God. That is against God's will. So and that is why we must have that baptism of fire. Yeah. I hope you understand. Now, let me quickly show you where that is confirmed in the scriptures. In that same Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. You know, I've read verse 11. Yeah. This is verse 12. Now, verse 12 is just a continuation of where verse 11 stopped. And you know, verse 11 stopped where it says that Jesus shall baptize us with Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, it went further in verse 12. It says, whose fan is in his hand? And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Yeah, so he's kind of explaining to us what the baptism of fire is to do in us. Yeah. So it means Jesus, you know, Jesus through the Holy Ghost is able to separate the things that are good in us from the things that are not good. Yeah, the good attitudes, the good behaviors. Jesus is able to separate the good ones from the bad ones. And then he's able to use that unquenchable fire to destroy those ones that are not good. I believe you understand. So that is why he sets us on fire. Yeah, he sets us on fire because there is so much resistance to doing God's will. So he sets us on fire so that we can do God's will. Because once the resistance is destroyed, it will be easy for you to do the will of God. And we know the chief of those resistance that is in us, stopping us from doing God's will. It is our flesh, our Adamic nature, our human nature. That is the highest of those resistance. Yeah, so he uses the fire to destroy them. Yeah, some men of God can teach in a way of saying that the fire means power. Yeah, I mean that the fire of the Holy Ghost also means the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it is true, but it's just that that power does more of destruction. It does more of destruction. Yeah. Then after what should not be seen in your life is destroyed, then the Holy Ghost is now able to mold you and change you into the person he wants you to be. After those things in your life that is stopping him from working your life is destroyed, then he's able to change your life into the person that you are meant to be. Yeah. So that is what the fire of the Holy Ghost does. So if at this point in time you are still committing sin. And you even love doing it. It's possible that you no longer have fire of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, so let's continue. The next scripture is Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. Revelation 3, 15 to 16. This is Jesus talking. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Yeah. So if you look at those verses, you will see cold, hot, lukewarm. It's talking about fire. So you have the fire, you are hot. You don't have the fire, you are cold. Yeah. And then some, they are neither cold nor hot. They are lukewarm. But as far as God and heaven is concerned, when you are lukewarm, your state is even worse. Yeah. Your state is worse than cold. Yeah, because you are trying to deceive God. Yeah. God would want you to choose one. Choose cold. And then he knows that, alright, you don't want my kingdom. So stay on your own. Then God will conclude about your case. If you choose to be cold, it's alright. You don't want me. You don't want my will. So just stay there. And then if you choose to be hot, and then God look at you and say, yes, this one is ready. I will give him more fire because he is hot. But then you are now lukewarm. You are neither cold nor hot. That gets him more angry. Yeah, because it means you are an hypocrite. Yeah. It means you are appearing to be what you are not really. Huh? Yeah. You don't want to leave the light. And on the other hand, you don't want to leave the darkness. So that is lukewarmness. And you're trying to maintain light and darkness at the same time. That's lukewarmness. So that makes God even more angry. So he said those people, he will spew them out of his mouth. Yeah, because we are all part of his body. So if he spew them out, it means they can't come back in again. Yeah. So the point is, the fire of the Holy Ghost makes us hot for righteousness. It makes us hate sin. Yeah, even at the sight of it. Yeah, so there are some pictures that I will see on the internet, and immediately I don't want to see it again. I don't even want to focus on such pictures. Why? Because there is fire burning in me against such things. Yeah, whereas some people, that is what they want to see. Naked pictures, seductive pictures. That is what they want to see. Worldly music, worldly songs. That is what they want to hear. And they call themselves Christians. Yeah, so the fire of the Spirit make us hot against unrighteousness and make us hot for righteousness. And the more the fire keeps burning, the more it becomes difficult for you to sin against God. I mean, it becomes difficult for you to sin against God. Let's look at Luke chapter 24, verse 32. Luke 24. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? This was after Jesus had resurrected from the grave, and he was appearing to some of the believers. Yeah, so he appeared to some of the brethren as they were coming from the tomb where he was buried. Yeah, but he did not make them realize that he was the one talking to them. He blindfolded their eyes from knowing that he was the one. Yeah, but Jesus, as he was walking with those brethren on the way, he was showing them many things from the scriptures. How everything that happened to him, as in to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ, that they killed and that was buried. Yeah, he was showing them from the scriptures how everything that happened to him have been prophesied about in the scriptures. Yeah, so when after he now opened their eyes and made them know that he was the one talking to them, those brethren now made this statement in Luke 24 verse 31. They said, did not our heart burn within us when he talked with us by the way? Now, this is what I'm trying to say. When you are so full of fire of the Holy Spirit, it will not only burn certain things in your whole life, it can also move from you. It can spread from you, those around you, and to those listening to you. Yeah. It can spread out. So the fire of the Holy Ghost is highly inflammable. Yeah. And highly contagious. Yeah, so it spreads. It spreads very fast. Yeah. So, which is why we can blame Christians in certain nations for the or maybe I should reframe my words. If a certain evil is prevailing in a certain nation, we should blame the Christians in that nation. Yeah. We should blame the Christians. Yeah, because Christians have a fire inheritance in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that is able to change people consciously or unconsciously. That is able to influence their community for Christ. So there's a fire that spreads out, and people just looking at you will be convicted of their sins. Even without you saying a word, just looking at you, they will feel guilty. Yeah, they will feel guilty because that fire will convict them of their sins. Yeah, so if that happens just by them looking at you, then what would happen? I mean, it means much more will happen when you now open your mouth to talk to them about the kingdom of God. Yeah, so that fire can burn others. It can burn the darkness in their hearts. Yeah, but so many Christians, they are not bold about who they are and what they have. Yeah, they are not bold. They are not confident. Because even they are still doubting what they have and who they are. Yeah. Whereas the people of darkness, sinners, worldly people, they are bold about who they are and what they have. Yeah, they are bold. So many of them, they no longer hide their works. Yeah, they make their evil works public because they are bold about it. Then, what are we doing? What are we Christians doing about what we already have? The truth we already have. Are we bold about it? Yeah, you are a Christian sister, so you've made up your mind to dress in a way that pleases God. But when you walk on the street with that dressing that is pure and clean, I mean, you dress modestly, your dressing covers all your body and it's not tight, it's not exposing sensitive part of your body. So you as a Christian sister, you dress that way and then you are walking on the street, you are still feeling ashamed. Why should you be feeling ashamed of manifesting the light? Why should you be feeling ashamed of your identity in Christ in the public? Then how will you spread the fire if you are not bold about righteousness? You're not confident about your calling into the Christian faith. Yeah, then how will you spread the fire? How will you influence the world? Yeah. So, these are many errors that we commit in the church of today. Yeah. Let us look at the last scripture before I round off. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So which means that if you have a will to do what is right, it is God in you making it possible. If you are willing to do anything right, it is God in you making it possible. And if you are doing anything right, it is the God in you making it possible. So let us get more of that God that is in us. so that we will always do his will. Let us keep that fire burning. Yeah, so you don't need anyone to lay hands on you to have this baptism of fire. Because you already have it. You just don't know. Yeah, so it's more of keeping it burning. It's not about, I need to attend one conference, on fire conference. Yeah, so that I can receive baptism of fire. I'm not saying that does not happen. I'm not saying you should not attend conferences. But I'm saying that it's not in those conferences. Yeah, it's in you. So those conferences can just bring it out of you. So the fire is in you. Yeah. It's not in any way. But our problem is just that we don't keep it burning. We are not keeping it burning. So it is in everyone because the Spirit is in us. So anywhere the Holy Ghost is, the fire of the Holy Ghost is also there. Now, let me give you an example. Like as I'm talking right now, the fire is burning in you. Now, you hear a message like this, or a teaching like this, and then after the teaching, you just forget about it. You don't even think about it again. You don't do anything about it. Then that means you got a chance of fire, baptism, and you ignore that chance. Yeah, because this kind of teaching is a spark on the spirit, on the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Yeah, so if you now sit down and start meditating and say, I want to change in my lifestyle, and then you begin to make effort to do everything possible. Prayers, repentance, personal commitment, fellowship, devotion to God, personal Bible study. Yeah. So as you continue in those exercises, that is how you keep the fire burning. Yeah, as you let the word of God prevail in you, you let the word of God have its way in you, and you let the word of God change you, that is how you keep the fire, because the fire is already there. Yeah, and when your heart raises, when you hear messages about the truth, about God's kingdom, and then your heart leaps up, that is the fire in you. Yeah. Stirring up your heart to hunger for more of God and for more of and for more of God's righteousness. So if you are hearing a powerful message and it's stirring up something in your heart, that is the fire. Yeah. So you don't need to go to a conference and be looking for fire that is not there. It's in you. So the thing is, now take steps to increase that fire and to sustain it. That is just what you need to do. And that is what many of us are not doing. Fasting, we don't fast. Long hours, prayers, we don't do. Vigils, night vigils, we don't do. Yeah, so things that will sustain the fire, we don't do. So then we just conclude that we don't have the fire. The fire is there. Yeah, it's there. It's in you. Yeah. So God has put so many things in place in our spirits and souls and bodies to make sure that we do his will. And one of the most beautiful of those things is the fire of the Holy Ghost. So if you want to do something that is right, and you are feeling resistance to do that thing which is right, which you know is the will of God, go into prayer. By the time you pray to a point, the next, when you now try to do it again, you won't feel the resistance again. Because when you pray, the fire will burn that resistance. And you'll be able to do it. Yeah. So that is what that scripture means by, for it is God working in you to do his good pleasures. And even to have desire for his good pleasures. Yeah, it is the fire working in us. Yeah. So I believe that I am still a Christian today. I have not backslidden today. Not because I am smart. Not because I don't experience similar temptations that you, hearing my voice now, experience or face. And I think I even face more temptations than many people. Yeah. Because of my level of consecration unto God. Yeah, because I have decided to consecrate myself unto God at a very high level. So the more consecration unto God you have, the higher the temptations that will confront you. Yeah, but that's not the point. My point is that it's not even about the level of consecration. I believe I am still a Christian today because I kept the fire. I did not allow the fire to die. So I keep doing everything that will make the fire continue to burn. I don't know if you are getting the point. I know of people that we started together some years back as, you know, vibrant Christians. Successful Christians and ministers. But today, they are no more. They are no more in the faith. I mean, they are backslidden. They are now enemies of God. Even though some might not agree they are enemies of God, but they are no longer walking in the truth. The difference between me and those people is that I kept the fire. They failed to keep the fire. Yeah, so this is not about your age. Some people will say, if you are a youth, there's a temptation that is common to youth, to young people. Yeah, so young people, it is normal if they fall into these temptations. That is a deception. It's not about your age. This thing is the same for everyone. Whether you are old, you are young, you are a child, the temptation is common to everyone. So we have to choose who we want to live for. Yeah. So it's not about you are doing this because you are still young. I'm telling you, even if I'm old, I will not stop doing it. Yeah. It's not about age. Or some people will say you are now righteous because you are now old. Yeah, that's a lie. Old people go to hell. Yeah. So the temptation is common to everyone. The trial is common to everyone. Yeah. But we must make a choice. Yeah, we must make a choice to please God, or we will never be able to please Him. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. There's a question here. How does one know they are under judgment? It's simple. Very simple. You know you're under judgment because God will no longer help you. Yeah. I mean, on that area, maybe you have, it is not in every area people have been judged. Yeah, on that particular area that the judgment has been done, you know, has been declared, or on that area where God's judgments have been released. Yeah, God will not help such Christian in that area. Now, you need to know that before God has been helping you in that area, yeah, but suddenly now He no longer helps in that area, irrespective of, despite that you cried and cried unto Him, but yet He no longer helps in that area. And despite the fact that you have repented of all sin, but yet He no longer helps in that area. That is God's judgment. Yeah. So it means you lose a certain grace, a certain place of grace with God. Yeah, you used to receive help from God concerning those things. But now you don't anymore. Yeah. So that is God's judgment. And some judgment might be for a season. So maybe some judgment might be maybe for 5, 10 years or 20 years, and then the season of mercy will come. While some judgment, they are just forever. Yeah. So it means concerning that area, you can't get help from God again. Yeah, that's what it means to be under judgment. Let's say, for instance, maybe God judge someone concerning finances. So it means God already say that person cannot have certain level of prosperity, no matter how hard the person work. Yeah, and God does that to Christians who are not givers. Christians who are selfish and self-centered. Yeah, so God judges their finances because they don't give. And He makes sure that they don't rise above a certain level of prosperity. They can be rich, some of them can be rich, but they can't have certain level of wealth. No matter how hard they try, they just cannot have, except they go and serve Satan to have it. Yeah, so there are different kinds of God's judgment. Some people who is their health, God just can't heal them. Despite the fact that He had once healed them, or He's healing other people. Yeah, so there are different kinds of God's judgment. Now, you might want to ask that, what do I do if I feel like I'm being judged by God? Make sure you repent. Make sure you stop doing things that you know brought the judgment. And then continue to ask for mercy. So God might change His mind as time goes by. Yeah. Might change His mind as time goes by. But know for sure that the judgment of God is real and is happening. So don't let any pastor or minister of God deceive you. The judgment of God is real and it's happening. And it's not when we die. It's not only when we die. People are getting judged now as I'm talking to you. Yeah. If you have more questions, you can ask on our Telegram platform. Yeah, I know there are questions that if I am you, then I will ask on this kind of topic. Yeah, but you have to ask questions for me to say some, for me to answer them. So I can't ask questions for you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us that we can please you. Thank you for showing us that we can do your will. We can be pure, we can be righteous, we can be perfect. Because there is a fire that is able to make us do that. Thank you for showing us that we can even become an instrument of change and transformation in our generation, such that our fire help others become righteous. Oh Lord, I ask that as many here, though not much, we're just five, we're just six, as many here who desire this fire, oh Lord of hosts, give it to them in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that the fire that is meant to enable you to fulfill your calling and destiny in this earth, I pray for you that you will not lose that fire. And also the fire that will make you enter heaven. In the end, you will not lose that fire. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Goodbye.